Are you seeking satisfaction in a substance you get by in life? Is that taking its toll on you and you want out? Your search ends here on GNCR 93.6 FM. Stay tuned for Heart to Heart with Mike Hottie, a conversation that can change your life.
Welcome, listeners, to Heart, another session with myself, Mike Hottie of Chicana Road to Recovery. And it is my privilege to be actually chatting with Roland. Welcome to the program, Roland.
It's my honor and privilege, Mike, to be here on Good News Coming to Radio. All praise to God.
Yes, Roland has got a phenomenal testimony that he's going to be sharing with us on this program. But I'd just like to remind our listeners before we hear Roland's story that if you have a comment that you would like to make, or if you have a query on anything that is discussed in the program, you're welcome to do so on the telephone number 082-789-5973. I found that WhatsApp is the most convenient method of communication, and you're welcome, as I've mentioned, to send your comments or queries through. I'll say that number again, 082-789-5973. As mentioned and introduced, I've got Roland that I'm chatting to. Roland, you're involved, I believe, with the Presidential Protection Services. This is a part and parcel of the South African Police Services. It's a very interesting sounding position. Tell us more about it.
Yes, Mike. I'm currently employed in the South African Police Service in the Presidential Protection Unit for the last 17 years. My duty is to protect the president, former heads of presidents, the important VIPs that's coming to Durban. I travel all over South Africa, wherever the president goes, and important members of parliament.
That's very, very interesting. A very specialized department of South African Police
yes.
Services, I would imagine.
Sure.
Certainly, the only dealings that I have with SAPS is all to do with drugs and illegal taverns and that type of thing. But it's interesting to be able to speak to somebody who has a role such as yours. You say you've been in this situation for 17 years now.
Yes, sir.
But it hasn't always been like that, has it, bro?
No, it was not.
There's been a bit of a troubled background and past. Yeah, let's go right back to the very beginning. Are you a local man?
Yes, I'm Roland from in Durban. I grew up in Verulam, and I'm currently living in Phoenix.
All right. And was there any Christian influence in your early growing up or childhood years?
Mike, my mom played a significant role in my life. I've seen my mom as a strong woman of God. We come from an Hindu background.
Yes.
My mom used to work hard. My dad was a good man. This had some bad habits. At the age of 9, I remember my mom, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. There was a demonic forces trying to oppress her. Mom, she wake up in the middle of the night and she had nightmares. So my father, at that time, took her to many Hindu temples around Durban. And my mom's brother, eventually, Pastor Ari Chetty, he brought a team of pastors and mom was delivered.
You say this was a situation where she'd made a commitment to the Lord, but was still influenced by demonic forces in her life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom's brother, Pastor Ari Chetty, he brought a team of pastors, and he prayed for mom and dad, and mom was delivered. But my dad was not so keen in giving away our God lamp at home. My mom had to endure much persecution from outside family members. You know, I really admired my mom's faith. So over the years, mom has taught us basically old Christian choruses and used to pray. My dad believed in Jesus before he passed away when I was the age of 13. My dad, in fact, he met an accident few years prior to his death. And one day he came to the town hall where Pastor Michael Henry was preaching. My dad came there, like I can see my dad when I was sitting in the front. Mom, he came there to ask us to leave. So as soon as he came there with the door, and I was shaking because I was scared. My dad was a very violent man. But the pastor he pointed at the door. And the crowd and all was full of people, worshippers. And he said to my dad, "You with a black cardigan, come to the front." And he said to my dad, "You have a pain on your neck, but today the Lord is saying you are healed." And from that day, my father was healed. My father was set free, and he testified that there's no other God but Jesus.
That's fantastic. Praise be to the Lord for that.
Yeah.
So you say he made that positive commitment before he passed away.
He wasn't committed to the Lord, but he believed in God. He didn't go to the church. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, my father lost his life due to unforeseen circumstances.
Yes.
But I know the day that he passed away, he called upon the name of the Lord. I was about 13 years old.
Mm. So there was Christian influence in your early growing
yes,
up.
Yes, yes.
Then what started a downward spiral into what I believe and I've heard, a life of sort of degradation yourself?
When my father was alive, we was blessed in many ways. My father had a business. And mm-hmm. then after he passed away, mom was not working. She was unemployed and we were financially embarrassed. And things was difficult at home. We had, I'm one of six siblings.
Okay.
So, and we have to move from Verulam to Phoenix. So in my teenage years, I was 14, 15 years old. I can remember correctly. We had to move to Phoenix and because we had to sell our house in Verulam. And then mm-hmm. I had no direction in life. I was easily influenced by the wrong company of friends. Drugs and alcohol are rife in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Every second person is either affected by drugs or alcohol. I was on both.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever was available, I tried every drug.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of discipline, I tried to fit in with the wrong type of people. And the area that I grew up in, Phoenix, called the SGFs, the Sicilian mm-hmm. Godfathers, there was a gangsterism. I used to join mm-hmm. them just to be on friendly terms. I didn't like what they was doing.
And this is still whilst you were at school?
Yes, I was still at school. I was standard 8 at that time.
Uh-huh. Standard 8. And of course, in modern terms, that would be now grade 10.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And so you started at a very young age, this sort of downward spiral into drinking and drugging and virtually gangsterism.
Gangsterism. And I was, into bad drugs and alcohol and just coming home late in the night and you know, wasn't interested in school, things like that.
And did your siblings and your mum know about this?
My mom and siblings knew about it, but we often have a lot of arguments and scolding mm. from my mom, and my mom should cry, and there was so much of, you know, quarrels at home because of me.
So certainly this drinking and drugging and mixing with the wrong crowd, it affected the relationships in your home?
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Quite mm-hmm. honestly, I was shy type of a person.
Yes.
When I used to drink alcohol, I was loud and rude.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law and I used to drink, and we should fight with each other. Mm. I should even break furniture and break some dishes. Mom was very burdened for me. Mom used to pray for me at 3 o'clock in the morning, especially on the weekends. And one morning I came home, I saw my mom on her knees. She was crying to God, saying, "Lord, wherever my son is, please bring him home safe. Lord, touch his life." So I told my mom, "Excuse me, mom, don't pray for me. I will never come to church. You're wasting your time."
Mm.
Mom used to beg me, "Come to church." I used to go to with mom just to please her because mom was mm-hmm. nagging all the time.
Yeah. And this is all still whilst you're at school. And did
yes.
it affect your schoolwork in
yes.
a while? Did you manage
yes.
to finish high school?
Yes. At 16 years old, I was truanting from school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to school for 3 weeks in a row. I was with friends at my friend's house in Phoenix who used to smoke Dhaka.
Mm-hmm.
And after school, I go home normal time. So mom should think I should go to school. So long story short, I got expelled from school.
Mm.
I got involved fighting. The principal was hard on us because the principal knew that we was on drugs. So one yes. day we got involved with some fight in school. And the person that caused the trouble was the principal's friend. So the principal expelled me.
So now you involved with drinking, drugging, and you're expelled from school.
I'm expelled from school. So I had a quarrel with my mom and my sister, and I went to live with my aunt in Verulam.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. I enjoyed the free life that was at that time, you know, the free life at my aunt's house.
Yes.
So my father's brother, my father's brothers, Uncle John, Uncle Jonal, and Uncle Guinness, they took me to Verulam High School because my uncle was in charge of the town board.
Mm-hmm.
So he spoke to the principal of Verulam Secondary. He told, please allow my nephew a place in the school. They said, no, we cannot accept him because of his past experience in the previous school.
Yeah.
So they told, because of my uncle's authority and his stature that he carried, and the good, you know, the service he did for the community, they told me, okay, you know what? We allow you on one condition. We will place you in a school register in pencil for 3 months.
So it was a case of the influence there was able to actually get you back into a schooling type situation.
Because my uncle influenced me. He said, without education, I'll be nothing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So after they put me in pen in a class register, you know, the same weekend, at the Friday, I together with two other boys with the school uniform, we went to smoke Dhaka.
Mm-hmm.
And nearby, there was a couple of policemen and they were watching us with the binoculars.
Yes.
And then they came and they came and searched us, but they didn't find no drugs on us, but we were smoking a pill. Yeah. And they arrested us and took us to the Varanam police station, and we were detained on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday with a school uniform. But thank God that we as juveniles at that time, we had no convictions.
Okay.
I was so embarrassed to face my uncles and her, you know, family. And
Roland, were you able to finish secondary school?
Yes, thank God. During my matric year, I completed my matric.
Yes.
And I passed on my grade 12. But I went to receive my testimonial from the principal gave me a very bad testimonial. He told me, you'll be a dropout, you'll be a hobo. And I was pleading with the principal, please, sir, give me a second chance. He said, no, you brought much disgrace to the school. Take your testimonial and you go, and don't put your foot back here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so that's a really bad start.
Very, very bad start.
Career.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what did you do?
So at the age of 18 years old, I finished matric in 17. In July of 1998, I was enlisted in the South African Navy.
Okay.
So my life at that time in the Navy was so hard and difficult with the training, and during the apartheid days, we was, you know, trained in guerrilla warfare type of situation, and everything was against us, and I got back to us. I was more into drugs, more into alcohol. I used to spend many days away from home.
So this was a case of what you started at school, the working career, even in the Navy, didn't help it at all. It just continued on.
The Navy promotes alcohol. You know, if you don't have any discipline and obedience, once you're with the wrong company, wrong crowd, you could be easily influenced, especially meeting guys from all over the country coming and everybody would be a macho guy. So we were also influenced because, you know, our body, we feel like, you know, we have to join them and do the things they want to do and to be in the same crowd.
Mm. Did you have a lengthy career in the Navy?
I joined the Navy at that time. It was voluntary service. It was for 2 years.
Okay.
2 years service. But after the 2 years, my contract expired and I was out of employment. But while I was working in the Navy, I had many senior officers giving me advice. Son, you're such a young, handsome boy. Why are you doing all the wrong things? I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop. I should feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
They told me.
So what happened after your 2 year voluntary stint was up?
At the age of 20, I went to work for a security company, and those security company was families.
Okay.
So they knew I was on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
A few months later, I felt very ill and I was sick. I didn't go to work for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of mine, he came to my house. I was asleep on a Sunday afternoon. He told me, Roland, you should come with him as soon as possible to the shop because there's two firearms are missing and they're accusing it's you because you was at that place last.
Uh-huh.
So I was surprised and I denied it because it was not true. I dressed up with him and my mom was asking me where I'm going because I'm sick. I didn't tell my mom where I'm going. So when I went to the shop, it was Sunday evening. I was met by the police officers from Varanam Police Station. They interrogated me. They questioned me. and they told me I'm a rogue, and if I don't give the firearms, they're going to lock me up, and they threatened me, and I was abused. They took me in the back of the police vehicle for, mm-hmm. and warned me and pushed me around. I was even taken to my father's grave to confess. I was so suicidal. I wanted mm-hmm. to end my life.
Oh.
I was weak. I was defenseless. I was depressed, mm-hmm. worried. I had no appetite for food. I was fearful. I cried. I was shown no mercy. I was treated as a criminal, called all kinds of names, thieves. And also heard someone told me that I'm so jealous over the business. That really broke me.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to confess under stress and duress that I took the guns. I was under pressure to please everyone because by the age of 19, I was used to prison life. But then I had three experiences in the cells at the age of 19. Mm-hmm. So I was fearless at that time.
And yet now this is a situation where you, under stress, you were willing to confess to something that you didn't do.
Because I was getting tired of people looking at me and jeering at me and mm-hmm. snubbing me and calling me names.
Mm-hmm.
I used to come in the morning to the office, to the shop. I was made to stand outside for the whole day. And I was being interrogated every day by the police mm-hmm. officers. They searched my home. They took me in the police vehicles to a police station. And I was overwhelmed and I was so depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to kill myself.
Okay.
I said, you know what, today I will smoke some dhaka and I will buy four quarts of beers and I will end my life. And when I went in the evening after work, when I went to smoke dhaka, I got so paranoid and I didn't drink those beers. I took it home.
Mm-hmm.
But I went home, I saw my mom's brother, Pastor Eddie Chetty. And I remember clearly, 2 years prior to that, I chased the pastor away. He came to pray for me on a Saturday. I said, I don't need no pastors, no one to give me any prayer or counseling. I know I'm big enough. I sort myself out.
Yes.
But that day when I went home, I was so glad to see Pastor Harry together with my Uncle Subri waiting to pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went there, my uncle told me, Roland, come and sit. For the first time in my life, I heard a man of God. He preached the word of God. He taught me. He opened scriptures. He told me about the different miracles and testimonies. And he gave me hope. He told mm-hmm. me, don't worry. The firearms is nothing. God will do the impossible. And after he spoke to me about the Lord, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. My uncle prayed for me and I felt the strong power of darkness leave me. I began to cry. I felt so light. I felt the burden leave my shoulder. In mm-hmm. fact, I was born again the very night.
That very day.
Yes, and I felt like a brand new person.
That is absolutely fantastic, Ronan.
Yeah, I had to report to work every morning to be questioned by the officers. And I was, at that moment, I had no fear because I know now, hey, God is on my side because I felt the power of God. I had some mm-hmm. hope. And my uncle advised me to read the Word of God just to get, you know, inspiration. And I'm reading Psalms. And you compare my life with David, how David fled from Saul mm-hmm. and how God delivered him. So reading the Word of God really inspired me to go on. And I knew within days there'll be a supernatural miracle taking place.
That's absolutely fantastic. Roland, as you've been talking here, I can hear the fact that even though you were living a God-blessed life away from God, I'm reminded of a scripture in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, that says, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one.
Amen.
Even though you weren't aware of it, God was working behind the scenes. And listeners, we're going to go for a music break now. But stay with us, because when we come back, Roland will tell you how his life changed about when he encountered Jesus. Welcome back, listeners, to Heart to Heart with myself, Mike Harty, and it's my privilege to be chatting with Roland. In the first half of the program, we heard how he had some sort of Christian influence in his early days, but when his father died, he went completely off the rails and ended up in a life of drugs, alcohol, and tending towards gangsterism. But a change came about when he was prayed for by his uncle, who is a pastor. Tell us, Roland, was there any particular incident that really brought you to that point, or was it just a case of total desperation that you needed change in your life?
I think it's after the total desperation that I saw the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because I guess it took the incident of the gun to me to seek the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because I took everything for granted. I was ill-disciplined, disobedient to everyone. And after 3 weeks, after I got saved, after I accepted Christ as my Savior, I used to hear my mom pray every day, "Lord, show them in a dream who stole the guns." So okay. one morning, I was called by the manager of the company, and I was informed that they arrested two of the suspects. Apparently, the manager told me that he had a dream. And in the dream, God revealed to him who stole the firearms. When he told me that news, I was so relieved. I was excited. I said, praising the Lord, I left the job as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And I was in church full time. I was serving God. You know, my mom used to give the church a prayer request for me to come to church. But now I'm the first one in church on a Sunday morning. I'm setting the chairs and the table. I'm cleaning up the church, waiting for the people to come.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how God can bring a complete change about in a person's life like that. And it's only the power of God that can do it.
Amen.
It's nothing that we can do in our own strength. We can't make those type of things up.
Cannot.
You prayed, reveal in a dream, and then God did reveal in a dream to somebody exactly what had happened. That's the mighty God that we serve.
Amen. So they had a court case. They had a court case, and asked me to be a crown witness. They wanted me to say that I saw these two guys stealing the firearms. I said, "Your Honor, I didn't see anything of that sort. If I saw them stealing the guns, I should inform the authorities. But I cannot lie. I didn't see them stealing the guns."
Yeah.
So after 2 years, I was re-enlisted in the South African Navy. After I joined the Navy, I became a skipper.
Okay.
The good Lord made me in charge of my shift. I've mm-hmm. been to Burundi as a national in the South African as a Navy to represent my country in Burundi as a member of a peacekeeping team for the United Nations and African Union. I served there for 1 year. And I did many operations out to sea. I was doing sea patrols, sea rescues, and the Lord was using me greatly.
Did Roland, I'd just like to ask, did any of the old personnel, the officers in the Navy, did they know you before or after, or was it a complete change of personnel that you were working with?
Many of the old guys were there, and they were surprised mm-hmm. at my appearance, the way I look, and the way I spoke. Oh.
And the That's abbots, what I thought.
Yeah, the yeah. abbots, and yeah, they respected me more, because once mm-hmm. a person taking drugs, you're labeled, you know. But That's now, right. I earned the respect, and I was always on a management post.
Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of that verse where Paul writes, and it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away; all things have become new." And I'm sure that was certainly a surprise to many of the senior officers in the Navy. There's this new Roland on the scene.
During my second re-enlisting in the Navy, I was interviewed by a white officer, mm-hmm. a lieutenant. So during my interview, I told him what had transpired, how I got saved. I shared with him my testimony. And I knew with confidence that I got this job.
Yes.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. he was surprised that a young man like me is speaking about God. And I was so bold, so you know. And God is awesome.
It's absolutely amazing. But I'd like to start to ask, and for our listeners' sake, because many people, when they come to know the Lord, they find that life isn't just plain sailing, as we say. For yourself, after this encounter and commitment to the Lord and growing in the Lord, being involved in the local church, for you, did life just become easy and that, or were there still challenges that you had to face?
Yeah, after I became a believer in the Lord, I was more confident, more bold. I had mm-hmm. a personal relationship with God. I believe that I can accomplish anything in life. As the Word of God says, with God I can scale a wall, Psalms 18. I can advance against the troops.
Yes.
But my life in church was so exciting, but I found that not everybody is excited for you in church. You know, people compare you, and I wasn't working at that time when I first got saved. People judged me, and I had to leave the church and join another church, you know. But my life in the Navy was so hard. The training was hard. The discipline was not easy. I had to travel a lot. I missed my family a lot. When my kids was born, I was always away from home. So many of the people who was in charge of us in the Navy, they took advantage of us, because as soldiers, we had to follow a very strict military discipline code.
Yes.
And often we had to change our shifts, stay away from home. We had no life. We had no life on a Christmas day, on a New Year's day, any good day. We had made to work.
Yes.
And we had no life in the Navy, because we belonged to the government at that time, you know. Yeah. So whatever they say goes, it's final. We cannot discuss. Even if you're sick, you have to go to work. So
you become there virtually like it's a situation of you have no soul at all. You become the property of the government.
Yes, sir.
At their beck and call, always.
Yes, sir. So when we receive a phone call to report to work, we have to report within an hour to work, whether you're at home. So we're always on standby for any deployment. So life in the Navy was getting tough. I was traveling and I was missing home. So when I was 37 years old, after I've been to Burundi as a peacekeeper, I said, Lord, I want to change my job. I want to join the South African Police Services. But now I was 37 years of age. And the cutoff age for the police force was 30.
Okay.
But God supernaturally intervened. He opened the Red Sea for me. And now this year will be 17 years I'm working in the police services.
That, I think, is a testimony of the grace of God working in an individual's life. And certainly we give glory to God for
all praise,
that.
All praise, all
praise. Amen. Amen.
And the job I'm doing now is a top secret job. God has positioned me there, and I know for a reason. And yes. I speak to many, many of believers about the Lord. Although being a believer is not smooth sailing, and there's always problems. But because of a personal relationship with God, and what God has done for me, I will not go back.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, after having this encounter with Jesus, growing in the Lord, how did your own family and friend relationships evolve? Were they the same as before? Did people treat you with suspicion, or were you more accepted?
I think after you become a Christian, all the wrong company, the wrong friends, they're automatically cut off. You cannot fit in the wrong crowd. Like darkness and light, you cannot face each other.
Yes.
So I was so excited to know about the Lord, and eventually I cut off all friends. Although I pray for them, and although I minister to them, but I don't join them.
Yeah.
We do have functions, but I don't partake in any of the substance.
Yes.
So my immediate family and the church my mom used to go attend, they were so excited. Our relationship, is better. I no more drinking and disorder. I remember, in school, principal wrote me off and he labeled me as an oboe. But God delivered me and set me free. Mm-hmm. So my friendship with my family, we have a good friendship with each another. We are often, meet and we discuss and we share testimonies how God has delivered me. And all praise to God.
I think that's absolutely fantastic. Isaiah 44, verse 22 says, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And Roland, as you're sharing, that scripture definitely comes to mind, because there was a sense of godliness in the family, but you drifted away. But now the Lord, through the work of Christ on Calvary, has swept away those offenses, and He has redeemed you. He has restored you into right relationship with Himself, which is important, and also with family, which is actually important. Family is very, very important in these days.
True. I believe so.
Yes. Would you like to just develop that thought a bit about family, being a godly person in your family, especially in your own family?
I give thanks to God in Psalms 107, verses 8. He says, let them give thanks to the Lord. For His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men, and He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with with good things. I personally think, you know, as a family, we have to be together, pray for one another, break bread. And somebody in each family needs to have a godly person, the one who upholds them. And I play an important role in my family, not only in my family, with my siblings, with other people different families altogether.
Yes.
I always encourage people that at the end of the day, money and alcohol and drugs is not the answer, but only God is the answer.
Yeah.
So prayer.
See, this is it. Where so many people are under a disillusion there, where they think that to be successful in this life, you need to have a lot of money, you need to have position, you need to have status. But we know that when we pass away, all that, we don't take our status with us, we don't take our money with us. All we take is our knowledge of Christ and our relationship with God. And that, I think, is so important. And people miss out so much on that. Would you agree with that?
I agree 100% with you, Mike.
Mm-hmm. And so are you able to get out and be an encouragement to others in your local church or beyond?
Yes, I'm very much involved in ministry. With ministry, I'm evangelist. In fact, I love a passion for sports. Whether I'm on a sports field or whether I'm in a gym, I'm encouraging others. I'm sharing my testimony with them. And I'm not ashamed of the testimony. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I believe is the power of God and salvation for them that believe. So wherever I go, I'm a living testimony to many of the drug users. I go to schools, and this principal allows me in schools. Imagine the principal allowing me in schools. I'm a member of the school governing body. And not long ago, we had to choose a principal. We had over 105 principals that need to be shortlisted. And then, I was sitting on a board. And I remember one day, the principal told me, "You've been OBO, but now I am choosing a principal for the school."
Yeah, it's amazing, that type of thing. And I think this is it, where as Christian believers, we are not called just to stand or to sit back. We need to become involved in our societies and in our communities. We need to be a voice to the people there, as you are saying, and so importantly so, that we are a voice to the community, that we share our testimony, that we might have an influence of a godly lifestyle towards others.
So God is really using me for His glory. I led many non-Christians to the Lord. I gave out many Bibles. While I was in Burundi, I was an evangelist. I gave many Bibles in Burundi. I served the Lord with a passion. Mm-hmm. And God is awesome. And the Lord's love and for me is to share the good news to others. And many people are coming to the Lord of my testimonies. And I'm so glad that, you know, I can be used in under this, you know, the saving grace of God.
Oh. It's important. So you said your own family, and that you are married, you have children.
Yes. Yes. I'm married. I have kids. My kids are all grown up, and they are serving the Lord. But I guess they also have a encounter with the Lord. We just pray for our children. They will follow the father's footsteps, but I cannot force them. But I love the Lord. They're not so strong in the faith as me, but they do see miracles. And I know that they are on the right step.
I think this is very, very important, that they have a father in heaven that they can look to, but they have an earthly father here as well, who can be a good influence and an inspiration and encouragement to them in their own walk in that as well. This is why it is so vitally important for us, and I hope the listeners take note of that, that there's a good, strong Christian father figure in the home that the youngsters can look to. Even as you say, Roland, your youngsters now are grown up, are in adulthood, but they still need a father figure that they can look to in their time of need, somebody who can pray for them, somebody who can guide them if they need it. And so not purposely influencing their lives, but being an influence in their lives in the background.
Yes, because of the many testimonies I share with them and how God works through me, and I keep sharing the good, positive news with them just to build them up, you know.
Yes.
So they must see the glory of God, and I want them to experience the same encounter that I had with the Lord.
That's absolutely fantastic. Roland, I'd just like to say thank you for actually sharing your life story, although it's brief and condensed into 40 minutes with us and with our listeners. And before I ask you to share a final encouraging word for our listeners, I would just like to encourage our listeners to take heed to what Roland has said, the importance of being a good, godly figure in the family. And perhaps in your family, there might not be a strong Christian person or individual. You be that person, if need be, in your own families. Because I'd just like to leave this verse with you. Grace and peace to you. And this is Galatians 1, verse 4. There's grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And certainly that is the verse that I can resonate with Roland, where the Lord has rescued you, Roland, from this present evil age, that you might bear testimony of his goodness to his glory to the Lord. A final word of encouragement from you, please, Roland, for our visits, our listeners.
I believe one have to be passionate about God in serving him. As the saying goes, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. I don't want to ever turn back on my God. For all that what God has done for me, the Lord redeemed me and has rescued me from many enemies, from many trials. I found favor with God. The Lord saved me from bullets, from accidents, from false accusations. I was falsely accused by a very important person, a wife of a very prominent person in the political field, but God gave me the victory. I am too blessed to go back to my old lifestyle. I am currently passionate about soul winning. You know, God can take a normal, ordinary person. God has called the unqualified and he qualified them. And I will just leave some few scriptures with you. For 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27, he says, God has chosen the foolish and weak people to shame the wise. He qualified the unqualified. And Philippians 4 verses 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8:31, if God be there for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And my favorite scripture, Psalms 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Psalms 23 verses 7, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I am falsely accused, Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. And one of my most favorite of all favorites, he says in the book of Deuteronomy 28 verses 1, I am blessed when I come in and blessed when I go out. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the country. And I am the head and not the tail. He who brought me thus far will never leave me nor forsake me. Amen.
Amen. Roland, thank you very, very much. And to our listeners, God bless you until we meet again. Amen.
Amen.